When you communicate regularly with your students, they feel a loyalty to you. They understand that you're about something more than just coming in, putting your iPod on shuffle and getting through the class, that you're making a commitment to them, and then they in turn make a commitment to you.
This is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. I hope this finds you well. I'm John McGowan, your host. Over the past year, I've been receiving a regular newsletter from ICI Pro member Bill Roach, and in it, it's like a never-ending stream of good information. And all I used to think of is, man, I should try to get either him on the podcast or have him start writing stuff for Jennifer and myself, because he does a wonderful job. And so I'm bringing Bill on to talk about what he sees as four reasons why you should consider a newsletter for your indoor cycling students. Bill, welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
Thank you, John. I'm pleased to be here.
Bill, first of all, I'd like everybody to get a quick understanding of who you are, what you do, and how you've come to be relatively good at communication skills.
Okay, well, thank you. And let me just say first that I'm a great admirer of the work that you and Jennifer are doing with ICI. It's an amazing resource, and I'm just, even in just this brief communication with you, I'm getting a sense of how much work and how much just how much this is a labor of love for both of you. And I think that you deserve, and Jennifer deserves, a lot of credit for all of the heart and soul that you put into this.
Well, no, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I can't let it go by without also making sure that everybody understands that, you know, these free podcasts are sponsored by Gene Nacy and Tom Scotto at Cycling Fusion. And it's without their contribution and sponsorship, I honestly wouldn't have time to do as many of these as we do. So I want to thank them. So now, you're down in the great state of Iowa.
Yeah, I'm just your neighbor to the south, John.
Yes, you are. But I bet it's warm there because it is south, right?
Well, it is south, but it's not that much south. And we still have winter here.
Okay, perfect. What's your background in indoor cycling?
My background, kind of like yours, John, was as a bike racer earlier in my life. Unlike you, however, I was a long distance bike racer, and I focused my competition on long events, 300 mile events, cross state events, those kind of things, where you'd do a 300 mile race in a 20 or 21 hour period.
God bless you. You're one of those people that would actually show up for those.
Oh, it was just nuts. It was just nuts, but it was a lot of fun. It was just great. For several years, I did that and just fell in love with the bicycle. And then got away from it. I think you can only do that for so long, probably in part because of the nature of the distances involved. You just, you know, the lobotomy only lasts for so long.
Well, the time commitment of
exactly
that much training that's necessary to do that. Absolutely.
Exactly. I've got tens of thousands of miles of road miles in, and at some point it just has to take a back seat rather than the front seat. What I did then was start, after a period of not doing enough, frankly, I decided I needed to find my fitness again. And one of the ways I did that was by starting to take a spinning class, and wandered into the spinning class for the first time, just like we've all done at some point or other, fell in love with it just instantly, and had a couple of really good instructors who helped me and encouraged me. And so now I've been teaching spinning, I think, for about 4 years.
Okay. Perfect.
You asked about the other side of it, and that is that I worked in the Iowa Attorney General's office for 30-some years doing public policy and communications work there. So I am a little bit familiar with kind of how to write and how to do communications and so forth, because I did it as my job for a long time. I just recently retired from that. And have added have become a have become certified by the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and I'm now kind of spending my time divided between teaching half a dozen or so spinning classes a week and with personal training clients. And wow. I'm just having a blast with that. It's a, just a great, for me at least, it's just a great kind of retirement plan. And I'm if people, you know how people always say they're busier after they retire mm-hmm. than they were before? I used to always discount that when people said it. I never quite believed it. Let me tell you, it's true. It really is true. And I apologize to all the people that I kind of didn't believe when they told me that okay. all those years that I said, how could that possibly be? And fact is, I am. So anyway, that's me. And that's kind of my background as it's relevant to this call and to this and to this program.
Perfect. All right. So now essentially you've taken what you did for a day job. You're a communications expert and applied it to your passion, which is fitness, spinning and or cycling. Yep. And out of that came your newsletter. And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I would add that I don't think you need to be a communications, quote, expert, unquote, to do a newsletter.
No, we'll but what I was saying is it was just natural that that's what you would do.
Yeah, it exactly was. It exactly was. And I think it came to me largely because the thing that really excited me about teaching spinning, and in my case, I'm spinning certified, but teaching indoor cycling, is this incredible bond that exists between between you know the instructor and the students, and just how well you get to know people, and when you work together in that environment of some discomfort and with regularity, and you're doing something hard together. Something special. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. I mean, something
yep,
special
absolutely.
Develops. It's tribal, I think. I mean, it's just plain tribal, and you join that little tribe. And I what I found as an instructor was that I wanted something that would help me reinforce that with the people that decided to come to my classes, perfect. And so I just began putting next to this when in our classes where I teach. People sign in to the class as on an attendance sheet at the beginning of the class, just so management knows kind of who's coming to what class. And I just put down a little sign-up sheet next to it saying, give me your email address if you like, and I'll try and keep in touch with you. I kept it very low-key at first, made no promises about how often I'd do it or anything. But just if you'd like to share your email address with me, I promise I won't sell it to a marketer. I just, you know, it'll let me get in touch with you. From time to time, and then it just kind of grew from there. But it really, I think, came out of my just enjoying the relationship with the class, the communication, the community, the tribe, whatever you want to call it. That just said, I want more of that, and now it's grown, and I've got between 300 and 400 people now that come to my. Various spinning classes that are signed up on that newsletter and who I try to communicate with about twice a month or so now.
That's perfect. Okay. So after I saw this, you and I, we've been talking about doing this for a couple of months. So I'm very glad that we're finally getting to it. But because you are very systematic in your approach, you've actually come up with three different components of what it is you're doing. You know, the first one we're going to talk about today is why instructors should consider a newsletter. And then as a members-only resource, we're going to discuss in detail really what you feel needs to be said and then kind of work through the mechanics of how best to deliver it. So starting with the four reasons why you should consider a newsletter, what do you see as number one?
Well, I think that from a business standpoint, I mean, as I said, number one for me was just the bonding. It was just the social. It was the way to communicate. And I think for many people that might be their number one. But from a business standpoint, I think number one has to be just simply retention. That when you communicate regularly with your students, they feel a loyalty to you. They understand that you're about something more than just coming in, putting your iPod on shuffle and getting through the class. You know, I mean that it's that, that you're making a commitment to them, and then when they make a commitment, and then they in turn make a commitment to you, and that results in higher class attendance, more loyalty, and thus, even if you're not paid on that basis, and I know some instructors are, where they're paid by class attendance to one degree or another. Certainly, if that's the case for anyone listening, then it's money in your pocket. But even if it's not, it just means that your classes are better because more people. It's always more fun to teach to a full class.
Oh, I've never met anyone who doesn't want a full class.
Oh,
ever, ever.
Absolutely, the energy in the room. You're right, John. I mean, the energy in the room is just so much different. When there's more people there.
Yeah, and you hate to turn someone away, but there's a little smile in the back.
Yeah, that, exactly. That says,
I had to turn somebody away.
So and I don't know about a lifetime job, but at my gym, the instructors are all very coy about saying that they've had to turn someone away, but they always make it a point to fit it into the conversation somehow.
Right. Well, and I wish I could get to that point, but I have 70 bikes in my studio.
Oh man!
And I have four clubs within, say, 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a little too high a club density to see that studio filled. But we're just not talking about me. We're talking about the thousands of people that hear this. And obviously retention, if you're a studio owner, is the number one thing.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. And if you're a studio owner or if you're an instructor who's paid on the basis of attendance, then it's really tangible. I mean, it's just money in your pocket. And I don't think there's any doubt that if you build that bond with people, you're reminded when your classes are. So if they maybe drop out for a period, they get busy with work or family or something and they drop out for a little while. Then they get a newsletter and they're kind of reminded, oh, yeah, I enjoyed those classes. I should get going again.
And well, exactly. A gentle reminder. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. I've absolutely had students come up to me and say, you know, who have been gone for a little while. Maybe I was kind of wondering what happened to them. And they'll come up to me and said, man, I'm sorry I've been gone. But, you know, I got your newsletter and I remembered that, you know, I should get my butt in here. You know,
right, exactly.
I've had it happen enough to know that it's real.
Right. Well, and I have, and anyone who's a subscriber to our newsletter, you know, it's every Sunday night it goes out, and it's all automated, thankfully, so that it does go out. But I've had multiple people tell me how much they appreciate just the regularity of it, and it just continually reminds them.
Well, let me add myself to that list because I look forward to getting them every Sunday night, and I'll use them through the week, kind of enjoy the articles and spend some time thinking about what I read. And I'll be honest right here. I steal ideas from you and Jennifer.
Well, we steal ideas from you too, Bill. So.
Hey, well.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. So obviously retention, number one. Mm-hmm. I like the second one that you came up with as you define authority.
Yeah.
So explain that now.
Well, I think one issue that some instructors have in relating to their classes is kind of creating a little sense of authority about themselves. That I think it's hard to teach a class without feeling a little bit of a sense of authority and I'm in charge, and you're just hard to be up in front and not have that feeling. But the class kind of has to give it to you. You kind of have to earn it. And I think one way that you can do that is to do something like the newsletter where you can demonstrate your knowledge. Now, it's not about, you know, showing off, and it's not about, and the newsletter is not about you or what you're doing particularly. There might be little glimmers of that every now and then. But what it really does do is demonstrate to your classes how knowledgeable you are. That you're serious about this, that you think about it, that you study it, that it isn't just a matter of getting on a bike and then exhorting people to go faster, but that there's real thought that goes into it. And that gives you the authority so that on the bike, people will do what you ask them to. They'll understand that there's a reason for it. And to me, that's an important reason. It kind of establishes you as the expert.
Exactly. Right. And people will accept the things that you say or suggest.
Exactly.
Much more readily. Okay, perfect. Okay. Then, and we skipped around because you had bonding as number four. I think we've already gone through that. But then the last component that of the four that you're talking about is what you call teaching. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, and I think this will be that this will ring a bell with most instructors, you know, but there is so much material really to be shared. You know, I do a program here at my local club where I help mentor new instructors. And after they've gone through the certification process with spinning, then I take them for a couple of months and co-teach with them and talk with them before and after classes and so forth. And the most common problem that I see for new instructors is that they've learned some stuff, they're excited about what they've learned, and they want to share it all at once. And so what they do frequently, I see, is they'll get up in front of the class and they'll just start talking too much about, you know, they'll go into too much depth, too much information about you know, kind of every topic that comes to their mind. They're feeling like they need to fill the space. They're feeling like they've got this information and it's their job to deliver it. And so it just happens in a way that's too much too fast. Even for more regular instructors, I think there's a great temptation to get a little too technical.
And want to give it all. Tell
exactly.
It all.
Exactly, right. John. That's exactly right. They want to give it all. And that just can't be done on a bike, you know, at 80% of your maximum heart rate or 70% of your LT or whatever, you know, you just can't do it well. So what this does is really allow you to continue the teaching that you're able to do on the bike. And you can do a lot of teaching on the bike. I don't mean to say that you can't, because, you know, by gosh, that's what we do. That's our jobs. It's our living. It's what we do. We teach on the bike. But we can supplement our, if you're really serious about teaching, then you can reinforce what you say on the bike with a little bit more detail, maybe even include some citations or references, a little more explanation. And then your loyal students who are on your newsletter list can come back to another class and say, oh, yeah, periodization. You wrote about that last month. And, yeah, now that kind of makes sense. And then you're talking about it. You know, the old saying that you've got to reach people, you know, kind of in multiple forums, in multiple ways before they begin to assimilate a message. And this is just a little example of it. You know, they get to look at it in writing. They get to think about it. Then they come to class. They hear it again. It's just a more effective tool for conveying all of the good information that we have to share with our students.
Well, I think what in marketing they call it touch points. You know,
yes.
Exactly. So it
creates a new touch point.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So essentially what we're talking about here is the benefit of newsletters, as you see it, is you know, creating retention for either as a studio owner, as an instructor hoping to fill your class, you know, developing authority so that your students look at you as one that is credible, gives you the opportunity to, you know, to extend the teaching benefits that you're trying to convey to your students. And then your favorite, the bonding, you know, to creating this community. And again, that goes to touch points in different areas. And I do have to ask the question, do you use your newsletter to promote events, those type of things?
Yes. Yeah. Good question, John. And I do. Particularly if the club where I teach is doing something a little bit unusual, they might be doing, you know, a club-wide race day, for instance, or you know, we have RAGBRAI here in Iowa, which many people have probably heard of, a famous cross-state.
There's a bunch of psychiatrists that sit at the finish line to analyze people why they would do that race.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
For those that you don't understand, that's a race all the way across Iowa, and I think you go the wrong way, so you're in the wind the whole time, right?
Well, yes, except it's not exactly a race. It's really more of a party.
Okay.
It's one of these cross state events. But I describe it to people, it's kind of like the Iowa State Fair on wheels.
Okay.
Where the small towns come out and put on their very best face with events and music and celebrations. And so you ride from town to town, and you'd be amazed at these small Iowa towns, what they can pull off to entertain and satisfy up to 7,000-9,000 bicyclists. So it's not a race, but it is, but it's everything else you said.
Perfect. But the communication of special events and whatnot, obviously, I would almost add that to your list, or make it five instead of four.
Yeah, no, indeed. That was a little bit of a tangent, I guess. But the point is, you can promote special events. And I've even used it, here in the Midwest, as you know, John. I mean, if we've got like a blizzard coming in or something, I'll even use it to just tell people, hey, there's not going to be class tomorrow or something like that, occasionally anyway. I try not to fill up their email boxes, but there are many ways to use it, and certainly promoting events is one of those.
ICI Pro members can look forward to the continuation of this podcast, where we're going to be talking about, what are you going to say, meaning, where are you going to get this information? Where are you going to get the content? How much, what if you don't write, solutions to those type of things. And then we're going to talk about how you're going to deliver this in an effective way that takes the least amount of time and yet reaches people the most effectively. So I'm going to close this one out. Bill, I appreciate your time today. Thank you. This has been very helpful, and I've really enjoyed talking to you.
John, you're a pleasure to talk with as well. So clearly we're on the same page, and I think with many others instructors around the country, it's just nice that you have created this network so that we can talk with each other and find kindred spirits. So thank you.
Hooray, and I appreciate that. All right. And to those listening, thank you, and I hope you are staying warm. It's kind of chilly, and that your classes are full, or as close to full as possible. Until next time, thanks.